Welcome to the FTN NBA Podcast with your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Joe Metz. Presented by the FTN Network, this two-man fast break runs you through the best cash and tournament options for every game on today's slate.
What is up, everybody? Closing in on the end of December. Welcome back to the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast. Adam Pfeiffer here, Joe Metz with me as always. And for the first time, in a, I believe it was the first time since the season started, we are joined by a guest, one David Jones, Tenacious D, who is crushing the NBA content over at FTN Daily. He's got his bank shot article up all the time. He's on the live streams. And oh, by the way, he just took down a huge tournament on DraftKings and won $100,000. And the cool part is pretty much right from his article. So, David, what's up, man? Thanks for joining us. Congrats again on your successful night. How are we doing? What's changed, man? Are you showering like with soap now? Like are you that like high class?
I'm spending too much money on sports cards. Apparently, that's been my flaw. I wanted to treat myself, and I'm chasing some sports cards, I guess. So I'll open them up tonight. I've done it for like 2 days. I don't want it to become a problem. But yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on. I did take down. It was the FanDuel tournament the other day.
Oh yeah, FanDuel.
It was a $4 entry, and I put 145 lineups in there out of 250,000. It was a quarter million people in that $4 tournament, and I took the whole thing down, man. It was the best lineup I've ever made, 100K up top. It was a good night. I couldn't believe I did it with so many entries in there. So we're still celebrating, and tonight's looking good so far. If the Heat can keep it a little closer, that'd be nice. But I'm ready to break down tomorrow's slate with you.
Yeah, Joe, tell Milwaukee to chill. We need this game to stay close. Like
I'm absolutely,
they're just pissed they got blown out by New York.
The bubble, I am loving this beatdown. I mean, did you really think the Bucks weren't going to come out firing after that game against the Knicks?
I mean, congratulations. I mean, Jimmy Butler's not playing.
Hey, good for you. If Javi is listening, make a bet with me tomorrow on the game. If Jimmy Butler's in, you can't run away anymore. I know you're scared of the Bucks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they can get back in this game, but. By the way, this has no effect on the podcast for Wednesday slate, but Kawhi Leonard was literally just ruled out tonight, fellas. So
was he? Okay.
He was. So just a little live podcast reaction there for everybody playing on Tuesday night, Kawhi Leonard out. So we'll see what happens. But as for Wednesday, we have, like you said, Milwaukee and Miami play again. So we'll have that game. It's a 6-game slate on Wednesday night. And there's still plenty of injury news. We have the first game, which features huge injury news. So let's get right to it. Memphis at Boston. Total for this game is currently sitting at, where is it? This game is, are they even up yet?
I don't see this one up. The only games that I see up right now are, let's see.
And it makes sense for this Atlanta, one not to be up
Charlotte
just
and
yet.
LA, but yeah.
So we know John Morant's out. He's going to be out 3 to 5 weeks with the injury, which I guess is like after, like, Joe, you told me about it. I didn't see it live. Yeah. Then I went back and watched it, and I was like, 3 to 5 weeks is not good, but I feel like it could have been worse. So he's going to be out 3 to 5 weeks. They're already without Jaren Jackson Jr. And then De'Anthony Melton's on the COVID list, so he's already been ruled out for this game. So we look at the backcourt from this team. You don't have Ja. You don't have Melton. You're going to see a lot of Tyus Jones. Grayson Allen's been starting. You'll probably see more solidified minutes from him. David, let's start with you, man. What do we make of this team with Ja Morant out? We saw like Jonas Valanciunas play 39 minutes the other game, which is like uncharted territory for him usually.
Yeah, that's pretty strange. I didn't peg him for 40 minutes. I mean, he never gets that. I don't know if he's going to do it again here. So the issue I have with this game is I think Boston can pretty much take Memphis pretty easily. Boston is playing tonight. It's going to be their second night of a back-to-back, but I think they're going to be able to beat Memphis really no problem. So you worry about how much the starters are going to be in there, but again, at the same time, we've only got a 6-game slate. Like, you probably shouldn't be predicting blowouts. What you want to do is look for the value immediately with Ja Morant ruled out. And so to me, that's going to be Tyus Jones and Melton for that matter. To me, going to be Tyus Jones, mid-30s last game. That was when Morant went out. I don't remember when he went out. Maybe like around the second quarter, I think.
Yeah, it was early. It was before halftime. It was early in the game.
So Tyus came in and he got the minutes. He's 5,200 up against Boston. I'm not scared of that price, but it's not exactly as cheap as I wanted it to be. If it was a larger slate, like I might not go to the $5,200 price tag on DK, but with it only being six games, you think you can get the little fire emoji out of Tyus Jones. So he's going to be one of the guards that I'm looking at here. As far as the other Memphis guys go, so we saw like Brooks go off the other night. We saw, Kyle Anderson with a bit of an expanded role, Jackson, I think Jackson had a bit of an expanded role, and then Valanciunas, right? To me, not a ton of Memphis guys. The value's not the same as it was when we had them really underpriced the other night. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a ton of faith in them either, man. I mean, there's other games. We've got Atlanta, Brooklyn, higher pace, Charlotte, Dallas coming up, Portland, Clippers. Like, not a main spot for me on this Memphis side.
Yeah, and like Kyle Anderson had a nice game last time. And he's scoring the last two games. Obviously, his usage rate climbed after he was playing a lot of point forward in that last game, which is helpful because he's always a guy when there's a ton of talent around him where he's kind of standing in the corner often. But he's getting a ton of rebounds, too. He has 10, 14, and 7 rebounds. He's up to 6K. Like, I feel like he's a floor play, but at that price, even with Ja out, I don't know if I love the ceiling. Valanciunas is interesting because with Jaren Jackson Jr. out, he's just gobbling up every rebound, right? 13, 12, and 14 rebounds. And then with Ja Morant out, the usage rate goes up. So, like, he's all of a sudden in this role where he's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of all of a sudden like Andre Drummond without Kevin Love, just because the usage is going to be higher. Now, the minutes won't be as secure. He did play 39 minutes. Like, that, it's just so rare to see him over, like, 31 minutes, let alone over 35 minutes. He's 7,700. We know on a per-minute basis he's super efficient in terms of fantasy scoring. And Boston's interior defense, like, it's improved with Tristan Thompson, but they're still, like, they don't really have an answer for him down low. So he's kind of interesting in tournaments. Joe, what do you think of Memphis without Ja?
I align with David pretty evenly here. Like, because he was injured so early in the game and they played 2 days apart, or a day apart, both FanDuel and DraftKings had time to adjust their prices. Dylan Brooks was underpriced on FanDuel as it was on Monday, but he saw a $3,000 price increase. Kyle Anderson, 6K or over. Tyus Jones is 5,800 on FanDuel, 56 or 52, whatever you guys said he was on DraftKings.
Yeah,
52. So they're, again, they're floor plays. Like, these are guys that I'm fine, like, filling your roster on that last spot or two in cash, but at their price, it's really hard to envision a ceiling in this matchup. I think the one exception is Valanciunas, just because his price went up, but like, it's not a price that we necessarily didn't see last year at some point. And we still know he has that 55 DK point upside. To me, though, like, I don't think this is the matchup where he gets it. I think this game has the potential to get out of hand pretty early.
Yeah, I did forget that last Memphis game went to overtime, and Valanciunas played the entire overtime period. So if there's no overtime,
so 33 minutes before, right, which is still, I mean, for Valanciunas, that's still,
yeah, like, he doesn't have to play 37 minutes. Like, 33 for him with how efficient he is more than enough. A pure punt play, Desmond Bane could be interesting. I mean, he's been part of the rotation. He played 22 minutes against Atlanta and then 24 minutes in the overtime period with Ja out. Maybe he plays 25 minutes. He's 3,300. Like, I'd rather play him than Grayson Allen if I'm, you know, looking for a cheap play from Memphis. Let's go to Boston. I don't know how you feel about Boston this year, but every time they've been on a slate and every time I've written about them, it's just the same kind of thing, right? It's their starting five has no real high usage players outside of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Gordon Hayward not being there anymore is just another guy that, you know, demands the ball, it's not there, and obviously Kemba's still out. So for me, it's like Tatum and Brown have kind of been in play almost every night. They're both well over a 30% usage rate. They're playing a ton of minutes. They're taking so many shots. I mean, Tatum's shot attempts are through the roof, 28, 22, 21, and we'll see what he finishes with tonight. Thoughts on Boston?
Yeah, it's the two guys up top there, too. Again, if we're thinking that Boston's going to win pretty easily, it's going to have to be Tatum and Brown, I would think, that put the most points in the bucket. Brown at 7,300. He always just gets like slightly disrespected on pricing, right? Like he's never like too cheap, but it's just a little, just cheap enough to where you feel like he can exceed his value there. I mean, look, he's going to play over 30 minutes. You can target Memphis easily at that position. I mean, their defense has not been good there. You can go look. I think it was DeAndre Hunter for Atlanta got to him. Keldon Johnson the first game had a big game against him here. So you can go with Brown. I think I prefer him over Tatum for the price, even though Tatum's in a great spot too, right? So Tatum's only 1,300 more. But if you – I only want one Celtic, I think, with this slate. So if you have the 73, throw Brown in. If you've got 86, Tatum's fine. But I do not have a big discrepancy between the two. I mean, quite frankly, like they've been both playing about the same if you're looking at a fantasy production standpoint. And in the first three games, Jaylen Brown actually has the bigger – or the higher ceiling. I don't think that's a career-wide thing. I just have noticed it with Brown. He's playing very well. So give me Brown, give me Tatum. I'll probably stay away from the rest and like Smart and Daniel Tice and the rest of the guys.
I will say, though, there is a chance Tristan Thompson doesn't play. They've been limiting his minutes so far this year, and this will be the first back-to-back for Boston this year. So if he gets ruled out, would you have an interest in Daniel Tice at 4K?
If we get like
I mean, Robert Williams has been playing a little bit better too. He played really well last game and kind of stuck with, had a larger role in the rotation. He played 22 minutes.
If we get some injury news where it sounds like Tice is going to get around, oh, I don't know, like 24, 25 minutes, which would probably be what he gets. It's not bad at 4K, especially against Memphis here, but he will be dealing with Jonas Valanciunas, which I don't love for Tice, but at 4,000, there's worse punts on the slate.
Joe, thoughts on Boston?
I'm in, again, similar boat to both of you guys. I agree, and I prefer Jaylen Brown over Jason Tatum, dollar for dollar. The big thing that stuck out to me, I was talking to some buddies, and one of my friends pointed out that he's only averaging, Tatum that is, he's only averaging one free throw attempt a game, a little over, three assists, and three turnovers a game. I definitely expect those numbers to normalize a bit. Like, we've seen a big body of work where he has been way more effective in the peripheral categories. We've seen him get to the line 10 to 12 times a game at times. So I definitely expect those to normalize. But on a six-game slate, he's 8,600. This isn't a play today and with the blow-up potential that I am going to chase to try and get ahead of the curve. I'll just take the safety with Brown given his ceiling. But honestly, if there's one game on the slate that I would be totally fine full fading, this is probably the one.
Yeah, Tatum, like the free throws are definitely annoying, but he's just living in the mid-range. I think I saw, I was looking earlier, 17, you know, this is before tonight's game, but like 17 to 8 or 18% of his shot attempts are like long mid-range shots, which obviously
the most inefficient shot looks, in basketball. Right.
So we'll see if he can start, you know, kind of driving to the basket more. All right, let's move on to the next game, Atlanta at Brooklyn. This game does have an implied total, 240, so pretty juicy there. Brooklyn favored by 6.5 in the early line. We obviously saw Caris LeVert just dominate the usage and ball handling duties with everybody out. For Brooklyn, Dinwiddie, he's going to miss a while, obviously, with the partially torn ACL. Brutal. And then Durant and Kyrie Sat, both are obviously expected to be back for this game. So how do we view Brooklyn here? Because it's, you get Durant and Kyrie back, but now, you know, you get them back and Dinwiddie, who was starting, is not going to be there. So, what do we, Joe, I'll start with you. What do you think of Brooklyn on this slate? Obviously a pretty good matchup against Atlanta.
Yeah, I think on DraftKings, I think both Irving and Durant are underpriced. I think 8,400 for Durant is really, really nice. Like, I expect him to be popular because of this price. But Dinwiddie being out, like, sure, he wasn't the first option on offense, but that's still a decent chunk of usage that those shots obviously aren't going to circulate back to like a DeAndre Jordan or potentially a little Joe Harris. But if there's any extra shots, they're going to Durant, they're going to Irving. So I really like both of them under 9K. I do still have interest in Caris LeVert. I know Irving and Durant are back. I assume they'll still take LeVert off the bench. 6,900 might feel a little steep with these guys back, but when they're off the court, he's going to be on the floor and there's not going to be a Spencer Dinwiddie to share usage with. And last season, when Irving and obviously Durant didn't play, Spencer Dinwiddie was flirting with a 30% usage rate. So that's not going to be there when they're off the court now. So I think LeVert definitely has has a ceiling here in a pace-up game. I don't think I go here in cash just because I think this game is going to be close because Atlanta's a lot better than they were last year. So I do expect Irving and Durant to be on the court most of the game. But I'm not going to write them off just because Irving and Durant are back.
David, Brooklyn, what do we think? I mean, I agree with Joe, by the way. I think both Durant and Kyrie are a little too cheap.
Yeah, I think both of those guys are cheap, and I obviously like Trae Young a lot, too. No bias. I'm a Hawks fan for anyone that doesn't know that. But let's start with Brooklyn here. So LeVert, I would actually prefer if he came off the bench here. I'm not sure that he will.
100%.
But I'm going to prefer it. Like, you don't want your you know, go-to guy to be sharing time with Kevin Durant.
I think he's going to come off the bench still, too, by the way.
I hope so, because if that happens, then, you know, he's just completely running the second unit, right? I do think it's a close game. I wonder, tell me what you guys think about this. If it's close at the end, will they let LeVert close the game out?
I would imagine. The problem is, like, we haven't seen that scenario, because when he's played alongside Durant and Kyrie, he's gotten some fourth quarter run in blowouts. Like, we haven't seen a competitive game with Durant and Kyrie yet.
Hypothetically, I think if there is a competitive game, I think he will be on the court and close, but I don't think he's going to be the one getting the touches in that situation. Right. It's obviously going to – Kyrie would probably be their number one option.
It is a fair question, though, because, like, I don't know if you want Joe Harris off the court either at the same time. Like, LeVert's obviously a better player, but
– So would you – I think in that situation, like, I could see a closing lineup being – Kyrie, Karis at the two, Joe Harris, KD, and then probably DeAndre Jordan with the way that rotation between him and Jared Allen has been leaning this year.
Yeah, I mean, and plus if Capella plays, like, they're going to have Capella and John Collins or John Collins, so they would need DeAndre Jordan for sure or Jared Allen. I think it's interesting. I mean, he's still under 7K, LeVert is, and he's such a high usage player. And again, I do think it would make the most sense for him to still come off the bench. Like you want to have a scorer like Caris LeVert to come off the bench, and just especially when guys like Kyrie and Durant rest, like the guy that can go out and, you know, get a 10-2 run for you himself and not have to worry about throwing those guys right back into the game. I love Kyrie at under 9K against Atlanta. Should be a fun matchup between him and Trae Young. He's looked awesome this year early, but he's looked really good. Same with Durant. I think 8,400 is a little too cheap, and the centers keep getting priced down a little bit for Brooklyn, but it's still hard to make the case for them when it's in a full-on timeshare. We know Jared Allen, he's been rebounding like crazy, which is probably the reason his price is still where it's at, because he's had double-digit rebounds in three straight games, but like he's going to max out at like 23 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so hard to make the case for him at almost 6K.
I think there's more merit on this slate to just go down to DeAndre Jordan. I don't think they should be priced this far apart. You know, he's 4,600 on DraftKings, 45 on FanDuel. It's harder because FanDuel, you only have the ability to play one center, so you don't want to swing and miss there. But DraftKings, like, if you want two centers in your lineup in a deep field tournament, like, he's not going to carry ownership, and he has upside. Like, he had, what, four blocks last game in 29 minutes? Like, in a game where they're going to need his size to combat Clint Capella and John Collins, I think there is ceiling potential. I'm not going to say there's a high likelihood he gets it, but there is a chance.
All right, David, talk about your Hawks. Danilo Gallinari questionable for this game. He's missed, I think, the last two.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that he plays. Of course, we have to watch, but that would just lead to more like Hunter and Reddish for me, but still not a great spot for them, even though a high total. I mean, I think that they're going to be staring down Kevin Durant a little too much. In a game like this, you probably target Kyrie Irving defense with Trae Young, who's going to be, you know, your full usage guy, and John Collins. John Collins got in foul trouble last game. And so if you're just game log watching, you're going to say, okay, he's only got 25, 32, 26 on these slates, but he really hasn't got his full run yet the entire season. Like, things
tell me about it. I played him every night.
I've played him every slate he's been on, and it's infuriating. But again, like, it's led him to be 7,100 on DraftKings. Like, that is a really nice price.
It's a really nice price, and I do think the game's close. Brooklyn probably wins, right? But the Hawks are improved. We know this, so they have a chance. Collins should exceed that 7,100. If you wanted to try and game stack the highest scoring game on the slate, the Hawks and the Nets, you could try and get, you know, three of these top four guys or three of the top five in Young, Irving, Durant, Collins, LeVert, and then build around them because they all kind of seem underpriced. But even Trae Young is just putting it up every single night too, right? If they're not blowing out the Pistons, you know, they're blowing out Chicago, and we know he was breaking scoring records there. I mean, also for the Hawks too, like if I'm trying to choose Trae Young, Irving, Durant, like these are our spend ups. Who do I want? Part of me wants to go to Trae Young over both of those guys, even though they're all in a great matchup, because all the usage for the Hawks, for the most part, is going to Trae Young, to where Kyrie Irving is splitting it with Durant and then even LeVert when he squeezes in there. And I mean, at this point, like Durant, yes, he's been playing good, but he hasn't eclipsed 43 DK points, and, you know, averaging, what, 30 minutes a game? And Trae Young, I mean, if it's close, he's going to be the guy shooting it. So I think I have Trae Young outscoring them all. But as far as the prices go, Irving and Durant are too cheap. And then Collins is too cheap. And that's might be about it for me. We need to watch the Gallinari news. I don't want to go Hunter. I don't want to go Reddish. I don't want to go Herter. And then the centers are splitting minutes, too. Like, we don't know if Capella is going to play either. He's dealing with an Achilles injury. And he came in and played 20 minutes last game. But I don't think he's going to be getting more than that.
Yeah, Capella's probable, so it looks like he'll play. Any Bogdanovich at 4,800, like, they obviously can be a lot more versatile with their lineups with Capella being there, but 32 and 30 minutes the last two games, 10 shots in every game. He's a guy that can create his own shot and create shots for others. I kind of like 4,800 for him, especially, like you said, if you're stacking this game, it's a little bit of a cheaper option than the really expensive ones. And I do agree, like, Trae Young is really, for me, like, in play every single slate. And especially where it's like a lot of people might view him as like the third best play from this game, which is odd in a game where Atlanta's playing.
Yeah, I mean, Trae Young is just so good, right? But so is Irving and so is Durant. I mean, they're all three, you know, going to the Hall of Fame. Trae's going to be shooting the hell out of the ball for the Hawks. And then, like, Durant, like I said, been playing good. Kyrie, he didn't used to play for the Hawks, so he might not go for 60. But you make a good point about Bogdanovich. So what I've been seeing from him just from watching, I mean, he's brand new to Atlanta, still seems to be kind of meshing with the team, even when Gallinari misses. And they still have other wing guys that they can go to there. Yeah. And Reddish, not Herter, but Hunter and Reddish. So the price makes sense. He could go for 30, 35 max, I would say. So he would make sense in a game stack, I guess.
Joe, any other thoughts on Atlanta?
No, you guys hit the nail on the head. I like Bogdanovich at his price. He's averaging literally exactly one fantasy point per minute. So you assume he gets 30 minutes, and that's 6x right there. So I think he's a low-risk value play if you need the salary.
Rondo is only 3,700 too. He played 15 minutes, came in pretty hot for the Hawks. Look, I don't usually say play bench guys, especially ones that get 15 minutes. But he is, I guess, a deep punt option if you're just trying to jam studs in there. I typically say don't play guys off the bench in any lineups unless it's a small slate, and we're kind of looking at a smaller slate here today.
It's already the fourth time this year I forgot Rondo was on Atlanta.
Yeah, well, he only played once, right? So, yeah. I mean, you'll remember when the Hawks get in the playoffs, he'll start showing how to
look. Dude, they gotta beat Cleveland, though. The undefeated Cavs. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be close. It's going to be close. Cleveland, I mean, Cleveland looks good enough to get to the playoffs, I guess, starting now. But, I mean, it's the fourth game of the season, fifth game, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally being sarcastic. Cleveland's still, like, they've elevated probably to, like, a good bad team at this point. But we'll see. Speaking of bad teams, Milwaukee. I'm just kidding.
Well, I was going to say Miami Heat.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, Miami. Home and home for this one. Milwaukee is currently just dismantling Miami without Jimmy Butler. They're up 80-49 as we close out the first half. So that game for the Miami guys is probably going to suck. But Jimmy Butler, I mean, it's the second out of back-to-back. So could he return to the lineup for this meeting? It's possible. He's probably going to be questionable again, though, throughout the day. I mean, I guess Dable will talk, because me and Joe talked about this last game, or last night, because it was the same game. It's kind of the same analysis, and we'll see if Butler's back. But how would you go about this game right now, knowing that the starters for Milwaukee, first of all, even though it's a back-to-back, probably aren't going to be playing anywhere close to their normal minutes because they're up by 30 right now?
Yeah, they're not going to play close to the normal minutes. They'll just save them for tomorrow and try and do it again. Yeah, I mean, look, the Bucks should win again tomorrow too, probably. I mean, it's just revenge season for them. I mean, it's just because they got knocked out of the playoffs, and they're a better team, quite frankly, I would say.
Thank you.
Yeah, so sorry, Javi, but Javi's not listening to this. I'll take your bets too, Javi. I'll take him again. look, Milwaukee, the starters are going to get the full run again, right, you would think, or a full run if it stays closer. Giannis, obviously, he's probably going to be a DFS dud tonight because he's priced up so high and he's not going to have to play most of the rest of the game. But you can go start looking at these Miami guys because, look, they're getting blown out tonight. They're going to sleep on it. They're not just going to show up and get their ass kicked again, right? They're going to at least keep it a little bit closer, I would say. I'm not looking at box score right now. I don't know what's going on. But the guys that pop up, like if Butler were out, he's probably going to be in. But you can go back to Dragic, in my opinion, even if Butler's in. I mean, Butler's been playing already, and Dragic has been getting close to 30 minutes and exceeding value severely. No one's going to be on him because he's a bust tonight, and it's still Goran Dragic. He can still get you there. I wouldn't go to Tyler Hero, though. They seem to have a thing against Mr. Hero. And somebody, he's a Wisconsin native, I believe.
Yep.
Is that right? Is he loved in Wisconsin or hated in Wisconsin?
It's pretty polarizing. So he's from about 10 minutes from where I live right now, and everyone in Milwaukee loves him. But you get more to like the Madison area, and everyone hates him because he originally committed to University of Wisconsin, then decommitted, went to Kentucky. So he's pretty polarizing. As you can imagine, he kind of plays that way on the court too. So I personally love him. I'm a big Tyler Harris, and he is absolutely destroying. He has 20 right now at half. He's literally the only one in double digits, the only one with more than 5 points for the Heat right now.
Okay, well, maybe. Well, you know, he gets the bump tonight because Butler.
Correct.
He's playing thinking,
point guard tonight.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can bump him back down tomorrow if Butler's in. But, look, it's kind of the bigs here for me, too. Giannis, Middleton, I thought was in a good spot tonight. I assume he's doing well because they're blowing him out. But Miami, they were good against the guards last year. Not so good against the guards in, you know, a short sample size. I think Middleton's a little underpriced at 7,400. I mean, usually him or Giannis just go off. And Middleton's, it might have been you guys talking about it on your earlier podcast, has been playing just as well, if not better, than Giannis.
So he's been their best player so far. He's been their best player.
So go there if you want. I like him there. Bam, 7,600. Some people thought he'd get a bump with no Jimmy Butler tonight. I assume that's not going well either. But again, closer game, you can try and play the ownership here, get more Miami guys when people might be off of them because of the blowout.
I mean, Joe, we're playing Bam tomorrow, right? 7,600.
Is there a price where we wouldn't play Bam?
That's what I'm saying. He was 8K. He was 8K on Tuesday night. So I mean, I'm going back to him at 7,600 with Butler in or out. Doesn't matter.
He's not going to be owned. The thing is, I think regardless of whether or not Butler plays, casual players are going to jump ship because of tonight's game. They're going to see the box score and see this team got absolutely pummeled. They're going to expect it again if Butler's out. If he comes back, they're going to say, oh, well, now they have less appeal because they have yet less usage. Like, this is going to be a prime buy low spot on the Heat, regardless of whether Butler's in or not. And some of their salaries actually went down. Like, Dragic went down, Hero went down. I believe Bam stayed at 7,600.
What, from tonight?
Yeah.
Bam was 8K tonight.
Oh, was he? So he went down too. So their price, assuming Butler's in, but even Butler, if he's in, he's only 7,500. I think there's a lot of merit here because you know the game's going to be competitive if he's in. The game still has a decent chance to be more competitive than it was tonight if he's out. So I like going right back to the well here. I'm just trying my best to not be like butthurt about Goran right now because he's playing 10 minutes, 2 points, three turnovers and an assist, and now Kendrick Nunn has taken over his role. Essentially, he's played 12 minutes in the first half.
That's got to tell us that he's really not part of the rotation then, right? If he's only playing tonight because they're just down 30. Like, if this game was closer, yeah. I don't know if he'd be playing.
No, I completely agree. Like, there is no – if this game was close, I would have expected Goran to be around 15, 16 minutes at half. But they're getting – you know, Nunn has 12 minutes. KZ Okpala has 11. Myers Leonard started and he has 2 minutes. Mo Harkless started and he has 4 minutes. Like, this rotation is all just, like rip it up, throw it away, and don't pay attention to this rotation.
Right.
Tomorrow. That's the way I approach this game.
All right, cool. Let's move on to Charlotte at Dallas. Is Dallas going to be up by 50 at half? Are we worried about that?
It's at home. I mean, they're going to win big, you would think.
8-point favorites, 223 is the total. Josh Richardson is questionable for this game for Dallas. Obviously, a huge part of the rotation. If he sits, maybe James Johnson gets some more minutes. And let's start with the obvious. Luka Doncic, 10-7. He hasn't gone for 50 yet this year. A bunch of 40-point games. Can he go for 50 here tonight? Joe, start with you.
I think he can. I don't necessarily think this is a defense like you avoid. His usage is through the roof, and like he's getting playing time. Like, we didn't really see this last year. And correct me if I'm wrong. Let me go down. Like, a lot of this has to do with the fact that LaMelo's really not playing. It's hard to say he's not playing well because rookies always have, you know, an adjustment period. But like, he's not playing much. He's averaging 17 minutes a game right now. So like, a lot of this has to do with how well the other guards, especially Rozier, are playing. But like, if it's working for them now, I don't see when someone's this hot, like, you're not going to take the ball out of his hand, right?
Yeah.
Are you willing? So then it comes down to, like, you know, he's going to have the ball. Are you comfortable paying $6,800 for him? That's where I'm torn. Like, the usage is there, but over the years, we've also seen the downside with him. So at this price, like, I'm almost still more inclined to play Devontae Graham for a couple $100 less because he's providing a lot more in every other category. So his floor seems safer. So I think it depends on the format, you know, where you go between these two. I think Graham is the better cash play. I think Rozier is the better tournament play, but I still, honestly, I don't see either of them carrying much ownership regardless of how good they've been playing.
David, what do you think of Charlotte here? Like, you have Hayward at 7,200 on DraftKings, and then Bismack's been playing well over the last couple games since Zeller's been out, but he's up to 4,800. And then obviously, like, LaMelo Ball, I don't think he's going to play more than 20 minutes right now, but there could be a game anytime, which kind of ties in with there being some risk with Terry Rozier that, like, Melo could just play, you know, 28 to 30 minutes. And I don't see how many scenarios where all three of those guys are on the floor, all three of those guards, so somebody's coming off the floor.
Yeah, I mean, from the Charlotte side, if you think the game's going to be close, you should probably have it, I would say, at least two of Hayward, Rozier, Graham. I'm not saying that's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm saying you think that's what the game's going to be close, because those would be the guys that keep it close, right? I've actually been pretty impressed with what Gordon Hayward's been doing so far this season, even with the finger injury. Like, I thought that would mean more for him being a basketball player and on a shooting, I'm pretty sure. Like, but he's been really filling it up impressively this year to start off the season. I would have to go with him first. And the guards give me a little pause going against Dallas. Very small sample size, but Dallas has been technically ranked well, very well against the guard this season. However, the competition that they've seen hasn't been, up to standards. I mean, the Lakers point guard, you're not worried about. Patrick Beverley for the Clippers, but they started up against Chris Paul, who had kind of a bad game against them, and his opener for the Suns. So give me Hayward first. I would probably follow Joe and go Graham second, then Rozier. But if you want to flip it over to the Mav side, I'm not like a play Luka every time kind of guy. Like, I fade Luka probably more than most people have. I haven't played him or written him up once this season, and it's been the right call so far. But I think you got to pretty much lock him in going up against Charlotte tomorrow. The first game, Charlotte allowed the main guard, it was Garland, to score something like 50 points against them, Cleveland. The OKC game, they let Dort go off. That's the game that I won a lot of money in. And then against Brooklyn, that was the LeVert game. I mean, Luka Doncic is going to roast the Charlotte Hornets tomorrow. So lock him in all your lineups. Take the points there. Find the value somewhere else.
Yeah, and with Charlotte, I actually don't hate PJ Washington for Charlotte.
He's getting a lot more minutes at the five.
Right, they're playing some small ball five with him. Will they do it in this spot? I think they can in some certain spots, and he's been rebounding really well. He's averaging like 15 rebounding opportunities per game. He's got 20 rebounds over the last two games with Cody Zeller out. So at 5,400, I think he's – like, I'd rather play him. I think he has more upside than Bismack Biyombo at 4,800. For Dallas, does anybody benefit with – if Josh Richardson's out? Like, do we get more minutes from James Johnson or maybe one of the backup point guards like Brunson or Trey Burke? Anybody else stand out, Joe, from the rest of Dallas
other than Luka? I think the backup point guards would benefit the most. I mean, I think the person that benefits the most is Luka. But I think the backup guards and Brunson particularly, and also potentially Trey Burke, just because, you know, we see it year over year. Josh Richardson will start on the wing, but he is a player that is a very ball dominant player. He's not necessarily a scoring dominant player, but he runs a lot of plays. He has the ball in his hand a lot. He takes the ball up the court. And whenever Luka is playing off ball, the ball is in Josh Richardson's hand. So you take his touches off, and it just makes me like Luka more. I'm in agreement with David. I think this is a phenomenal spot for Luka. I don't think he's going to be as popular as the three studs in the Brooklyn Atlanta game. So I think it's a good spot to get him at a little lower ownership, especially with whether or not both stars play in LA. So I liked him as is. I like him even more if Josh Richardson's out. I think if you need the value, you could consider a Jalen Brunson. I mean, he's only 3,200. My issue with him is he's only playing 13, 15 minutes a game, where Trey Burke is playing 17 to 20. So,
and Burke is such a high usage player when he's on
correct.
The floor.
Correct. He's a high usage player. My thing is, like Brunson, I feel like he caters more to filling a void that Josh Richardson leaves if he's out than Trey Burke does.
Right. Burke would be more impactful if Luka was out.
Exactly. So, but the thing is, like, it's definitely not a safe, like, these are
no.
If Richardson's out, these are not safe plays. So I think it's a tournament flyer at all. But if there's, I mean, the only Dallas guy I'm really focused on is Luka. I have passing interest in Dorian Finney-Smith whenever he's at this price range. But his minutes have been trending in the wrong direction. So I don't know if I'll go there today.
All right. Let's go to the aforementioned LA Stars. Lakers at San Antonio. 230 is the implied total right now. Lakers 5-point favorites on the road. LeBron James still dealing with that ankle. He's questionable for this game. Played through the ankle sprain against Portland and played really well. So, I mean, this is interesting because for the first time this year, both Davis and LeBron are under 10K on DraftKings. So, David, what do we do? What's your thought process on these Lakers in general, especially with the addition of Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, and especially now that they're, you know, under 10K?
Well, I think they definitely upgraded the guard with Schroeder. Schroeder was a guy who, I mean, an Atlanta Hawk, right? He was starting for Atlanta. For whatever reason, it didn't work out when Coach Bud was over here in Atlanta. It kind of broke up the band. But he's a very capable guard. I think better. I know a better true scorer than any other guard they have there right now. And I think the addition of Harrell was good for them, too. JaVale McGee just kind of vanished in the playoffs. Dwight Howard's gone, and Harrell was a guy that was kind of being disrespected by the Clippers to some extent, right? I mean, giving all that money to those other scrubs in LA. Sorry, but I agree that the Lakers big guys, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, like, they're definitely underpriced. Like, there's not usually scenarios where you can fit both LeBron James and Anthony Davis in your lineup. I think tomorrow you could, but at the same time, I don't think that it's necessary. So it's usually one or the other that's going off. They're priced exactly the same. You can fit them both in the flex spot or a forward position. I think I'm going to prefer, they're both in great spots, but Anthony Davis to me, I mean, he just has so much upside. So does LeBron, but so much upside there. And been playing worse. I think he'll be lower owned because he didn't just go for 55. And look, you can get it San Antonio either way, but I think I prefer Davis if I have to pick one. But another thing that you can do here, guys, this is kind of hedge life stuff, but we're talking about Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Like, you know, you can't just draw out, you know, just choose which one's going to hit right every night. Make two lineups, put Davis in one, put James in the other, identical lineups, and you can play it that way.
It's a good call. Joe, why won't DraftKings price Dennis Schroeder up?
I don't. Oh, that's the point I was literally about to bring up. Especially for how much more ball dominant he is this season, and which is weird to say. Like, he has been more ball dominant than he was last year, and he's playing alongside LeBron James right now. Like, until they price him up to like 7K, I'm going to be playing him every single slate he's on. And this is a good matchup. The Spurs are a defense that we can attack now. You know, Deontay Murray, he's a good defender, but he plays individually. He plays at a really fast pace, and he can be pretty out of control sometimes. So I think that caters to Schroeder, who I was looking this up the other day, and it really surprised me. You know, when Schroeder was in Atlanta, he was regarded as one of the worst defensive point guards in the NBA. Last year, he finished top 20 in defensive plus minus in the entire league. I was absolutely shocked when I saw this. But I think that caters more to this matchup. Like, I think this is a better, more exploitable matchup than we think. The pace will be there, and you know the usage will be there. And, you know, LeBron's listed as questionable right now. I have a hard time seeing him sit, seeing that he played last game. But if he does, there's no reason not to just lock in Schroeder and move on.
Yeah, and the Spurs in general are playing a lot faster this year. I know it's early, but they're like seventh in pace. Like, we know the Spurs have never been a fast-paced team, but they're playing a lot faster with, you know, and they're obviously, it's weird, they're just younger, right? I mean, they're starting, what, Keldon Johnson, Lonnie Walker, DeJounte Murray. Like, they have a younger starting five than we've grown accustomed to seeing from them. I Schroeder at 6,200. I think he's just too cheap still. Like, not going to get to any treads at 7K, especially with Davis back. So LeBron expected to play. For the Spurs, DeMar DeRozan, he's dropped below 7K. He's 6,900. He's had two really good games and one bad game. That's an interesting price tag. And then, I mean, LaMarcus Aldridge he hasn't played 30 minutes in a game this year. He really, as much as I've played LaMarcus Aldridge since I started playing NBA DFS, I've played LaMarcus Aldridge so many times, especially when he's on Portland. I just played him every night. So I love LaMarcus Aldridge. But, like, at this point, there's just, like, no ceiling with him. David, any interest in some of these Spurs guys? I mean, I love DeJounte Murray as a player, and he's with Derek White out, and Derek White's out again. We can, and with Brent Forbes in Milwaukee, like, we can finally say that DeJounte Murray's minutes seem to be safe for the time being.
Right, yeah, I agree. Murray's too cheap on this slate. And just for all the usage he gets, you have Derek White still out. What bothers me, what bothers everyone that plays DFS about the Spurs is that you cannot count on what Greg Popovich is going to do. It's like trying to predict which running back's going to play for the Patriots in a week. Like,
he's the Bill Belichick of the NBA.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So I would typically fade Spurs slates, but this year seems like it's a little bit different. I'll wait till I get popped again. But Murray, he's going to get like 30 minutes, no more, no less. That's what he's getting. And at 6,100, I mean, he can definitely pay off that price tag. He's one of the better values, quite frankly, that I'm seeing on the slate. Like, unless the Lakers just blow out the Spurs, then he should definitely exceed that, I would think. And then you mentioned DeMar DeRozan, L.A. native, always plays the Lakers well. And he seems like he's too cheap, too. Yeah, he's blown up for a couple big games. Clearly better matches. LeBron James isn't going to be breathing down his neck. Anthony Davis isn't going to be trying to block him. But he plays the Lakers well, if you go back and look. And, I mean, he's, you know, what, the most high-usage guy on the team. Especially, like, it was a thing last year when LaMarcus Aldridge would sit out. You would just play DeRozan, right? Well, with LaMarcus Aldridge's usage down, his minutes down last game, not getting over 30, and DeRozan still really getting a full run. One of the only guys that you can count on with Popovich is getting a full run. I just like what I'm seeing out of him this year, and 6,900 seems like too cheap for me. He'll outscore Murray tomorrow, but Murray's price is still pretty nice too.
Joe, any other Spurs stand out? I mean, Keldon Johnson's been playing pretty well. He's been rebounding really well.
He's been a really good source of stocks too. Like,
he's priced so awkwardly though. That's a problem, especially when you look at the other players in this game, like Schroeder 62, Murray 61.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, in that range, I'd rather get up to both of those guys. I think I'd rather go Keldon Johnson than Kyle Kuzma. In that $5,700 range, I think I'd rather go Rudy Gay at 52 than Keldon Johnson at 57. Rudy Gay took 20 shots last game. That is ridiculous to me. I didn't think I'd say that this season, with unless like everyone else in the game was out. But there's merit to him at 52. I also don't hate Lonnie Walker at 44. He's getting over 30 minutes a game right now. He's taking 10 plus shots in every game. He's rebounding. He's taking 10 plus shots in two of the games. He had 9 in the other. He's rebounding at a decent clip. He's been an okay source of stocks. Like, the upside's there, especially when he's seen those, like I said, over 30 minutes, 34 in particular, in 2 of 3 games. So I think he's priced a little too cheap with Derek White out, and I assume he's going to get the start again.
All right, let's go to the last game of the slate, Portland at the Clippers. As I mentioned earlier, Kawhi got ruled out for Tuesday's game, second end of a back-to-back, so we'll see if he's back in there for this one. Again, it's not like an actual injury type thing. They're saying it's just like kind of more comfort with the cut he had on his mouth. So we'll see if he's back for the Clippers. Joe, what do you see from this game? I mean, a lot of stars. You have Lillard, McCollum, Paul George, Kawhi. Nobody seems like a must in this game right now, assuming Kawhi Leonard. And that's what I'm assuming. Assuming Kawhi Leonard is back in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm assuming the same thing, especially because, you know, we talked about it on today's podcast, but earlier, or yesterday's podcast, we were listening to it the day of the slate, but they kept noting that Kawhi Leonard's mouth injury is more of a comfort thing and not like, can he play or can he not play? Like, he can play, it's just whether he'll be comfortable doing it.
Yeah, so if it was a playoff game, he wouldn't even be on the injury report probably.
Correct. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to play tonight. I think Kawhi is priced at a good and targetable range. The only issue, though, is that you have, you know, Kyrie and KD priced below him. You have Trae Young only a couple $100 more. So while his price is really enticing, like, I think the masses are going to flock to that Brooklyn and Atlanta game, and I think I would too. So it's this is a tough game to target. You know, I think it's a better game as like a casual basketball fan to watch than it is to dissect and play from a fantasy standpoint. But I still love Serge Ibaka's price at 5,400. I like Yusuf Nurkic anytime he's below 7K. I typically reserve Yusuf Nurkic for tournaments, though, because he is an extremely volatile player. And then, Adam, your boy Lou Williams is still only 5'2".
Yeah. He obviously hasn't been great, but, like, at some point, that's just too cheap. Like, he's 51. He was 5,100 on Tuesday night, and 52, like, even if Kawhi's back, like, it's just a really fair price tag. And he'll throw out the last game where he played 9 minutes. That game was over immediately. Lou Williams at that price seems like the perfect player where you make your lineup. You have one player left for, you know, at a guard or utility or whatever spot, and you plug him in and you feel pretty safe about it. David, what do you think of this game?
You must not have heard my Lou Williams rant earlier today on another show. I tore into Lou Williams pretty good. I didn't know you were such a big fan.
I'm not – Lou Williams has never been, like, my favorite player in the league. Joe just mentioned that because I've liked him so far this year at his price tags, and it hasn't worked out, obviously, just yet.
I think he's overrated, man. Like, I just think Lou Williams
– I just think he's past his prime. I think he's
sure
tailing off.
Well, yeah, but, like, in the sense of overrated, I mean, for DFS. He's a much better – real basketball player than a DFS player because he's only really contributing with points, right? He's not a rebound guy. He's not an assist guy. He'll get a steal, whatever. That's fine. But also one thing I do with DFS that I don't think I've ever heard anyone say this, and it might be right or it might be wrong. I don't play guys who rely on three-pointers to begin the season in DFS. I like for him to kind of get in the groove a little bit, a month in, a few weeks in, get back in shape when the shots fall, and that's when I like to play my three-point shooters. So I think I'm going to be on a Lou Williams fade here and hope it doesn't bite me. Tonight, he could very well go off. I mean, I think that game's about to start, and there's no Kawhi, and he's 4,500 over on FanDuel. He could go off, or by go off for Lou Williams means 30. Other guys in this game that I might look to, like you mentioned Nurkic, it's the minutes with him. Like, we're not sure.
I think it's because Kanter's back. Like, Kanter's been eating into his minutes a lot.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like Nurkic is clearly much, much better than Kanter. Like, is this I don't know what we're doing. Is this a conditioning thing with him right now? They clearly said that they'll just throw him into the fire when he came back from that leg injury into the playoffs last year and was getting real starters minutes. So I don't know what's going on there. What I do know is if this guy gets over 30 minutes at $6,700, like, he's going to be on the winning team. There's just, like, too much potential with him. And targeting the Clippers is something I like to do with big men. I like to do it more last year when it was just Zubac and Harrell.
Right.
And Ibaka isn't the guy you want to mess with a ton, right? I mean, he's a good defender, no doubt about it. But he's only getting his 20 minutes, and they will probably try and match him up with Nurkic as much as possible. Yeah. But I do think Nurkic can win that matchup. So 6,700, I will play some of him. And there's someone else down here I was looking at. I'm scrolling down. I don't like this guy either, but he's playing 35 minutes. Derek Jones Jr.
He's 35 minutes,
$3,600, but maybe the nut worst matchup if Kawhi plays. And by the way, so that's not a real recommendation. That's just saying he's going to just be mobbed by Kawhi for 35 minutes. Real question, are we getting a mask game out of Kawhi? Is he going to have to put a mask over that?
That is legitimate, like,
is that a must-need
news. Like, I need to know this because, like, I'll play 100% Kawhi just because mask games are always the best.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they always go off the mask game, right? I think there's been one time it didn't work out.
I mean, Kyrie's mask games, LeBron had mask games.
I mean, Rip Hamilton, like, he made a career of this thing.
Yeah, he had a mass career.
Yeah, so we'll have to see about that. If Kawhi's out, then, yeah, you're going to play a lot of George again. And George is going to go nuts tonight, too, by the way.
I mean, Dame at 10K is, like, on this slate, it's going to be hard to get to him, especially because, like, he won't be too popular, especially with the other options in this game, but also the fact that you have LeBron and Anthony Davis on the slate that are both under 10K. You have Luka, you have Giannis, you have Trae Young, you have Kyrie and Durant both under 9K. Like, Lillard, I don't think it's a huge ceiling matchup for him, but, like, I'm interested to see what his roster percentage is when Kyle does the ownership projections, because, like, on this slate, at his price and the matchup, he could go completely overlooked.
I mean, I think in tournaments, I think he'll be under 15% owned at this price.
Right.
Which I think that's when you want to target Lillard. I think this is like close to his bubble price, but like he has the bubble production in his arsenal. So I don't hate it. I just think if you're a cash player or a single entry player like myself, it just makes more sense to me to get up $700 more to Luka or reallocate that $10,000, put it towards like Kevin Durant and Kyrie and find a value elsewhere.
It's fair enough. By the way, Julius Randle with the triple-double tonight, 26, 11, and 12. Still 2.5 minutes left. He is going crazy. It's pretty much him and Drummond back and forth in that game. So that's been...
Also, update, Adam, Goran has not touched the court in the second half
done.
So far.
He's done. They're still down by, what, 31? He's done.
Yeah.
So that'll do it. All right. Should be a fun slate. David, thanks for coming on, man. Talk to the listeners about what you are pumping out at FTN Daily and the live streams. I've been catching them while I've been in Discord and writing articles, all that great stuff. I mean, it's been an everyday deal, and it's been – I mean, it's only, what, 4 games into the season, but it's been fun.
It's been real fun. It's real fun when you win one early in the season, so it's good.
Yeah, get it out of the way.
Yeah, just get it out of the way. You know, if I can average one a week.
I'm sure your wife would be happy.
Yeah. And we have a daughter due in a month and a half, so that was great timing.
No kidding.
Yeah, we do. But, so over at FTN Daily and FTN Bets, I write for NFL, for NBA, and then I'm the lead analyst for MLB over there. Been doing the live stream shows Sunday morning. We've had some great success with those. And I do a lot of the showdown stuff for NFL over there. As far as NBA goes, I alternate the article with Javi Prolezzo. He is amazing, too, at NBA. So make sure you check that out. And, you can follow me on Twitter at Tenacious D Jones. That's me.
Love it. 6-game slate here on a Wednesday. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night if you're listening to this early. And make sure you check out Joe's content. Joe will be doing the game-by-game article and the 5 stats to know, so that'll be up, early morning?
Yeah, I usually get them out by, like, 9, 10 a.m.
Sounds good. Best of luck on Wednesday slate. Thanks for listening, as always. We will see you guys next time to break down some more NBA action on the FTN Fantasy NBA Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of the FTN NBA Podcast with Adam and Joe. Please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast.